A few times over the last couple months, the story of Abraham and Isaac has been read as one of the scripture lessons. And I don't know about you, but it's a very hard one to read. I understand that one of the readers actually kind of broke up in, because of what it, you know, what it entails and all. And so I decided to look into it a little and to share some thoughts. And I said revisited, but I'm going to suggest maybe an alternate view. All right. So anyway, we'll see how that works out. I hope you enjoyed the little story and the reflection. It does have something to do with what's going to be said. Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. And then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. Well, the first thing we have to do is look around the place where the Hebrews were living, where Abraham lived. Because in the Bible, child sacrifice is always wrong. It's not to be done. People who do it are to be punished severely. There is only one child sacrifice in the Bible that's okay. Anyone? Right, Jesus. Abraham lived in a land that was full of people who did not follow the God that he followed. I've got several little scripture things. It says, and the Avites made Nibhats and Tartak, and the Severites burned their children in the fire to Adrammelech and Amalek, the gods of Sepharvaim. So people around Abraham, and the people that were not following his God, did offer burnt offerings of their children, their sacrifice, their children. So God warns. Yeah, in Psalm 106, it says, they mingled with the nations and learned their practices and served their idols, which became a snare to them. In other words, when everybody else is doing it, there is, you know, there is some pull. We know all about that, right? When everybody else is doing it, why not? And it was a particularly difficult life that they lived. And so, if Abraham saw the people around him sacrificing their children and apparently thriving, what might he think? He might think, maybe I ought to give it a try. Okay? Maybe I ought to give it a try. Leviticus says, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech. Molech is a biblical name. It's a Canaanite god that's associated with the sacrifice of children. Nor shall you profane the name of your Lord. God, I am the Lord. You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel. Okay, so this is the visitors, the people who are, you know, living with them. Any of them who gives any of his offspring to Molech surely shall be put to death. And the people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Molech so as to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. So if God is so adamant about not sacrificing children, that to me puts in question why God would ask Abraham to do that or expect Abraham to do that. We'll get back to that in a bit. Now, there is this thing that says you will devote or you will to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. The firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Okay? Now, it doesn't say sacrifice. Redeem means either to keep or recover by either making an alternate sacrifice, which is what Abraham ended up doing, or by paying ransom. You'll recall with Jesus, when he went to the temple as a young man, what did his parents do? They bought doves to sacrifice. That was the redemption price for Jesus, and it was doves because they were poor. Okay, so that practice went on. But there was, again, no indication of sacrificing this child. In Jeremiah, because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it enter my mind. Again, a strong statement about God doesn't do this. So, Abraham is here, and he lives among a people that are sacrificing their children. And let's assume for a second that he decides that it would be worthwhile to try it, because he'll try anything to make it better. He'll try anything to make it better. And so he takes his son off and goes through to this, the whole process of leading up to the sacrifice. And at the last minute, God steps in and says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Actually, some interpreters think that this was one of the warnings against child sacrifice, this passage. With this idea in mind, the way Abraham showed that he trusted God was not to do it. He trusted that God would be with him even if he didn't do this thing that was working for all of his neighbors. Okay? So, here we have this story, and now it's going to be presented in the scripture. Well, how do we say this? How do we tell this story so that it kind of fits into scripture? Well, one of the things you remember with Job and in certain other cases, one of the things that happens when something strange happens, they introduce it, the editors introduce it by saying, God put someone to the test. Okay. A way to kind of explain why something that God normally wouldn't ask or normally wouldn't do might be done in this case. And so I would suggest that the first part about how God told him that is possibly an editorial addition to make the whole thing more godlike, more religious. Possibility. As many famous people say, I may be wrong. But I suggest that. The second possibility is that Abraham himself, I don't know if you had a chance to read the little story and the reflection about the farmer who, how many didn't read it? Should I reiterate? No, okay. But, you know, the farmer, when he saw the PC in the sky, what did he see? He saw what he wanted to see. He thought, this is a message from God, and I'm supposed to do this. Turns out, it was wrong. Turns out, it was a completely different kind of a message. So, the possibility is, and another possibility, is that Abraham, in his musing, decided that word was from God, that he had to do this. Never mind the evidence, you know, never mind the other parts of the tradition that said you don't do this. Abraham may have decided that it was God. And I think we're all guilty of that time and again. We have something that we hear something or we have something that we really want to do that we really think is not probably what Jesus or what God would want us to do. And so we kind of convince ourselves that it is really okay, that it is really God calling. From personal experience, I will tell you that at least every preacher that I know wrestled with that kind of a question when we were discerning our call. Next week, Anne Marie Davenport will be here, and she's recently called and recently ordained. So at coffee, I would grab her and say, did you ever wonder about your call, whether it was really from God or not? That's kind of unfair, isn't it? For me to put that on you, or on her. But anyway. So there's another possibility. Okay. Again, I may be wrong. But it seems to me that given the scriptural evidence and the historical, I've read some historical articles too, but they decided to stay with the scripture. There's really no evidence. In pre-biblical times, the Hebrew people might have practiced child sacrifice, because that may be why the scripture is so strong against it, why it keeps going back to that. But it's just not something that God wants or orders. As the one scripture said, it never even crossed my mind, right? Nor ever did it enter my mind. So, I think we can at least not condemn what's happened in the story. I think we have some defensible ways to think about it that makes it not quite so horrible. And so I offer these with humility, and I pray that you will judge me lightly and consider the story, and perhaps consider it in a different light. Amen.